You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. Awesome. Man, when God dropped this word on my heart earlier this week, I've just wanted to come and preach it. In fact, I was super excited to go and write it out, actually. But then we had a crazy busy week. Usually Thursday, Friday, I write my sermons. And so I wrote like 5 points on Wednesday. That's it. 5 lines. Bang, 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 bang. And that was it, right? And then Thursday was full. I was hanging out with Ryan Visconti, and that guy is an absolute legend. Did you enjoy having him here on Thursday night at Dream Team? And then Friday was full, hanging out with staff and with Ryan again. And then Saturday came along, and I'm like, all right, I can finally write out the word of God that he's put on my heart. And so today I'm here to share that with you. Are you excited? Awesome. By the way, if you're new, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at Eternity Church, the greatest church in the universe. And we really are glad that you're here. After the service, we've got a welcome box for you. So go to the lobby and one of our team will bless you with a welcome box just to say thanks for coming to Eternity Church today. So 4 weeks ago, we started a sermon series, Soul Oxygen. And you know how it goes with me. I really do have great intentions every time to stay true to the sermon series for like 6 weeks. See, God's like, yeah, you really need to, Jesse. But then I get like 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, and I'm like, man, I've just got to roll off topic a little bit. So today we're going to roll off topic. Is that cool? Yeah. Fantastic. Someone said no. If that person didn't ask, you just slap them for me. But we're going to roll off topic today, and today's word is called fresh, right? I've been watching some Fresh Prince this week, and so I just got to call the word fresh today. So touch your neighbor and say, that's fresh. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, that's fresh. There we go. So, but before we roll into this fresh word, it's announcement time. Some of y'all were here on Thursday night at Dream Team night at Central Campus, and we made an announcement, but I want to share the same thing with everybody at church today, this weekend. At the start of the year, you might remember that I prophesied that our church would receive this year what would usually take a church 30 years of paying off loans and striving and begging and trying to get there, but that our faith and our open arms would cause a provision like we've never seen before. Do you remember that? And then, just a couple of months after that, Fusion Church in Adel voted to dissolve and give all of their physical assets to Eternity Church, including their 7 or 8 acres of land and the buildings, which became Eternity West Campus, right? What an incredibly generous heart that was, right? So out of that generosity, Eternity West was born, and that released some of the growth pressure that we were feeling at Central Campus in Clive. But before the summer arrived, we started to see that we were running out of space in our kids' programs because we did a massive renovation where we took the auditorium from 300 and something seats all the way to 601 seats. It got a 95% capacity increase. But our children's church, which we did fully renovate as well, they only increased by about 30%. Now, anyone who knows math knows that that didn't make enough sense, right? We were like, we'll just stack them, pack them, and rack them like sardines up in there, and hopefully they all survive. But we knew that we were going to run out of space in that one upstairs room that handles our elementary program. And that when the full growth hits us again this year, that we would not have enough room, and we want to keep it safe up there, right? And mind you, right now, the kids' church, the elementary program, is sharing that space with every other program that meets midweek here at church. The Wild Youth, Fearless Mums, and some weeks it gets used by 5 different programs. And so it's set up in a really multi-purpose kind of way. Sorry, multi-purpose kind of way, you know. And so that room, man, we are like using that room as efficiently as you possibly could, right? And but then there is room to build another kids wing behind us. And one day we'll probably have to do that. But that will cost millions of dollars. Come on, touch your neighbor, say millions, right? And that would cost a lot of money. And but you know what? The staff is growing as well, right? Like last year, in the last 12 months, we've hired 4 more full-time staff members here at Eternity Church. Come on, give them a hand. And that gets stressful, right? It does. Like, so, like, just thinking, man, we're running out of space. We're running out of space in our offices. We're running out of space in our kids' church. What are we going to do? Growth, not enough space. God, what do we do? Honestly, I started to get a little bit stressed out. So I did what I usually do when I get a little bit stressed out. I got to praying. Come on. I got to praying. Because I'm not going to be the kind of leader who just sits back and gets frustrated. Right? If I'm frustrated, I'm not going to stay frustrated. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go to God and let God turn my frustration into an opportunity for innovation. Amen? Come on. And so I knew that God had spoken to me. God says, get the offices out of the worship center and have a separate headquarters where we can have all of our Central Iowa staff from West Campus, from Central Campus, officing together, and the Central Campus, West Campus, future North Campus, future East Campus, come on, future South Campus, come on. When all of that unfolds, let's have all of our staff together so it's the same culture, on the same mission, with the same vision, and the same heart and attitude that all of our staff have. Come on. Then we can remodel the old office space for more kids' church, right? Just, hey, staff, get out. We need to make room for the kids. So we're like, why does the offices even need to be located in the same place as our services anyway, right? It works in our West Campus where we deleted the offices, deleted, demoed, whatever. Like, that's such a millennial age group thing to say, right? Everything's a tech word. We deleted the offices, yeah? Anyway, I'm sticking with it. It sounds good. We deleted the offices in our West Campus to make space for our big welcoming foyer, which is one of the most important ministry spaces we have at Eternity Church, by the way, is our foyer, or your foyer, or your foyer, however you want to say it. The foyers in our campuses are the meeting spaces where we care for each other, where we notice each other, where we pray for each other, where we hug each other, amen, where we love each other. Come on, they're important, right? We want to make space for them. And we're like, you know what? If it works in our West Campus, it'll work at Central too. So the board and I started looking at rental space so we could give up the office wing upstairs, let the kids' church have 2 huge elementary rooms. But that was epically expensive. Has anyone tried to lease like 7,500 square foot of office space in the western suburbs of Des Moines, right? It is bat crap crazy. You're like, man, I don't want your kidney. I just want some office space, right, y'all? So we bailed on that quick smart in a hurry. It was almost double the cost to rent a space than it was to buy a space. So we started looking for a building that we could buy and grow into, yeah? We didn't want to like go in there and move 3 months later. And we found one. With the help of a couple of families in the church, we were able to purchase an entire office building that has multiple other tenants whose rental income actually pays for the whole mortgage. That's why you go to God and get an idea from God, amen? We can build something for a couple of million and pay for it ourselves, or we can buy something for far less than that and have someone else pay for it for us. Hallelujah. So in a few weeks, we're going to transition out of the office wing upstairs into what's going to be called HQ, ECHQ, really basic, right? Eternity Church headquarters. You know, I'm a simple guy, and more details on that will come in how that transition will work and how if someone turns up to the wrong place, how we'll be able to send them help straight away, all that kind of stuff. There'll also be a video soon that will explain how Kids Church will look across both campuses. after both campuses see their kids' wings renovated with state-of-the-art kids' facilities. Come on, Central and West, come on. Some people are like, you just renovated Kids Church here last year and West this year, and yet we're going to do it again, right? We're not the church that goes, oh, somebody put a piano on the stage, now it has to stay there forever. No, we're saying, thanks for the piano, now next month we've got a new plan, okay? And we're going to stay fresh, amen? We're going to stay fresh and do what God calls us to do. But check this out. The building that we bought currently has locked in leases that are legally binding. But that's actually good news for us, because on day one, we can occupy 50% of the space and then grow into the rest of the space over the next number of years as we need the space and as we can afford to move tenants out. Come on, right? And so don't think, oh man, they got that building, it pays for itself. Yeah, but the rest of them don't, so keep giving. Hallelujah. Come on, right? And if we ever want to be able to actually use our whole building, keep giving. Hallelujah. Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, give more. All right, come on. But check this out. Now, I've got something funny to share with you, all right? One of the tenants on half of the bottom floor is a pub, the Flying Moose. Yep. Yeah, some people are like, I don't even know what to do with that, but cheering's one thing I would do about that, right? Come on. So we bought a pub. I'm thinking that since one of the tenants is a bar that has a lease, right, that somewhere in the building we're going to put some text on the wall that says Acts 2:15, these are not drunk as you suppose, they're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. Put some scripture in there, right? Come on. Drunk people will be like, I'll take some Holy Ghost. And we'll be like, yeah, you will. Come on. Come on. What a great opportunity, though, to witness and minister to more people, yeah? Right? People finding out that, man, our air conditioner broke in the bar and the church fixed it faster than any other owner of the building ever did before. Come on, right? We're going to be that kind of people that we love and we minister to and we bless people no matter where they find themselves and no matter how they find themselves there. Amen? Come on, God is good. So, anyway, excuse me, my voice broke, finally. Been praying for that to happen for a long time. So anyway, we're going to use that space for so many other wonderful things as well. And we're working with, by the way, man, you're going to love this. This is like announcement time, okay? Come on, right? I have not shared this publicly yet, but we're working with North Central University right now to start an accredited college at HQ, the Eternity School of Leadership and Worship, where you can get actual college degrees in leadership, in worship, in ministry, and even get credits for leadership internship hours at the church. Come on. That's unreal. So kids, next year, you're coming to our college. And all the parents are like, heck yeah, they are. They are not moving out of town. That's right. Parents, we got your back. Come on. We did this for you, right? But all this got me thinking, right? How great is it that God is still speaking? Right? God's still speaking, right? As a friend of mine once said, the bush is still burning. Come on. Moses met God at the burning bush where God spoke. It was holy ground and God spoke. And guess what, church? The bush is still burning. God is still speaking. But if we get stuck eating what God gave us 5 years ago or 6 years ago, we wouldn't have Central Campus. We wouldn't have West Campus. We definitely wouldn't have HQ, and there'd be no college on its way. God's not done speaking, church. Things only stop moving forward when we stop listening to God and get stuck eating what He served in 1989. But He's got a fresh meal. Come on. He's got a fresh word. God's doing a fresh thing. Someone say amen and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. Joshua 5 verse 12. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Come on, don't get stuck eating manna when God's got milk and honey. Don't get stuck eating manna when God's got steak and ribs. Come on, someone say ribs. The first time we bought a building, God told us to raise the money in-house. He gave us a plan. We purchased the building and we did it. The second time God told us to go, He gave us a building. It was given to us by the generosity of other people. The third time we go to get a building, God says, don't pay for your building yourself when a bar can pay for it for you. Come on. But if we got stuck in the word from God from 3 years ago, we'd have stressed out about how do we raise the money to buy this other building. But God is and God was and God will keep doing a new thing. And we got to stay fresh. We got to stay fresh. Come on, touch a neighbor. Say, you got to stay fresh. I'm a little bit excited. I can't grab a microphone and talk to people about the goodness of God and not get fired up, right? Let me tell you, if someone's ever preaching to you and they're not excited, they don't even know what they're talking about, right? If someone's preaching and they're not excited about what they're preaching, they haven't even received it yet. Come on. If you're not excited, you haven't read it yet. God is good. Amen. God is still speaking. Anyway, move on. Someone say verse 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. That I want that to happen to me, by the way, one day. In Iowa, though, someone will probably be like, bang. Sorry, if you're watching online, Iowa. Anyway, saw a man standing with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you with us or are you against us? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord God have for me? Verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. Then the Lord God said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. I love where it starts. God says to Joshua, see. Now, if Joshua did look like God told him to look, he'd have seen a city barred up, shut up, and locked up. Come on. A city that has absolutely not been delivered into his hands, like God is saying. But he is saying, see with your eyes of faith, see with your spiritual eyes that I have given you this land. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't look at with your eyes what God's telling you to look at with your faith. Amen. See, I have delivered it into your hands. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. Come on. With the priests blowing trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast with the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Someone say a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up. Everyone straight in. Come on, too many people are using the word of God from 20 years ago when God's got a fresh word for them today, amen. If they kept eating manna, they'd have never got the steak and ribs, hallelujah, come on. Too many people get stuck on the word that God gave somebody else when we got to get our own fresh word for our own situation, amen. I know too many people that when God wants them to do something, they start marching around things like Joshua marched around Jericho. And I'm like, did God tell you to do that? I've seen people march around schools, march around houses, march around buildings or land that they want for their family or for their business or for their church. And that's fine. No harm done. But rather than living in someone else's revelation from God and rather than living in someone else's word from God, go and get your own word from God. Come on. Go and get your own fresh touch from God, your own fresh word from God. Amen. I could have read about Joshua taking the land and then gone and walked around this building 7 times. 1, Oh, yeah, we got a problem, marching around the building, two, and just keep marching around the building, three, and then just keep marching around the building, four, and when I say shout, y'all are going to shout, yeah, and then keep marching around the building, five, when I say shout, I want you all to shout, and then I march around the building, six, and then I'm going to say shout, and then you're going to shout, and I march around the building on the seventh time, and everybody shouts, and the walls did not come tumbling down, because that was someone else's word from God. That was someone else's revelation, amen. That was someone else's instruction. That was the word of God to Joshua, not to Eternity Church. That was the word of the Lord for that situation. But church, I got to go and get my own word from God, like Joshua went and got his own word from God. And so do you. You got to put your own faith to the test. Got to get your own fresh word from God. When the Israelites tried to eat yesterday's manna, it ended up full of maggots. It did. They tried to eat yesterday's provision, and it ended up full of maggots. And the same thing can happen to us. Yesterday's maggot-infested manna is only going to give you a bad case of something you don't want in your tummy, a bad case of something you don't want to be experiencing for the next 24 hours. Come on. The right word at the wrong time is not going to bless you. In fact, the right word at the wrong time could ruin you. You need the now word from God. You need the rhema word from God. Amen. But we can learn something from the Battle of Jericho, can't we? We can learn a few things. We want to emulate the heart and not exactly what he did. If we want to hear from God, we need to get ourselves on holy ground. Come on. We need to get to holy ground. You need to seek God, hear God, obey God, and praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, what did he do? He seeks God. Get yourself on holy ground by spending time with God in prayer and in worship. Worship and prayer puts you on holy ground, by the way. There's no place in America, there's no place on this planet that the ground itself is holy unless God is there speaking. Come on. It's not about where you are, it's about what's happening on that ground, all right? And if I'm worshiping here, it's holy ground. You're in holy ground because we got a word from God, and because we've been worshiping God, this is holy ground. Hallelujah. You need to get yourself into a place where you're sensitive to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And then you need to listen. Come on, don't do all the talking. Stop telling God what he's got to do. Stop telling God how he's got to solve the problem, and be quiet enough to hear God tell you what he wants you to do. God, I need you to do this. And he's like, well, I need you to do this. But you can't hear it because you're too busy telling him what he needs to do. Sometimes we need to be still. We need to be quiet. We need to listen. You know when that time is? Every time God said that to someone, they were on their own, FYI. When we come together, that's time to praise. When we come together, that's time to celebrate. When we come together, that's time to make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. But sometimes, when we get on that holy ground, God wants us to sit down, shut up, and listen up. Stop telling me what to do, son. I got some news for you. And then, do it. Do it. Do it. Is that Starsky and Hutch or what? It is, isn't it? Then obey. Do it. Jesus said that God wants to give life, not take your life, so you can trust him, right? So if God tells you to do something, do it. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, do it. Trust him. Have faith and obey him. When your name's Noah and God says, build a big boat, build that boat. Come on. When your name's Joshua and God says, march around the building, march around the building. In fact, if your name's Shanna and God says march around the building, then march around that building and the walls will bloody come tumbling down. Come on. If God said it. When God says put your baby in the river, come and talk to me. Little Moses juke right there. Come on. When he says, give the office wing to the kids' church, give it to the kids' church. When he says, go to Nineveh, go to Nineveh or get eaten by a big fish. When he says, go apply for that job that you're not qualified for, go and apply for that job that you're not qualified for. Come on. And then praise him. And then praise him. When God has spoken and you've obeyed, it's time to praise. And the praise is going to usher in the breakthrough. Hallelujah. And the praise is going to usher those walls right down to the ground so you can walk over them and go take the land. Amen. And go take the space and go take the, then go expand the kingdom of God or go and find a healing or go and find a breakthrough or go and find a job or go and find a restoration in that relationship. Amen. God has always told us to praise. He's always telling us to praise. Praise him by lifting him up, by making a loud noise, by making a joyful noise with a shout of praise. I love it. Scripture never says, whisper some praise to your neighbor. I haven't read that. Shout! Shout with a voice of triumph, amen. Not whisper with a scared, timid little voice to your neighbor. No, shout. With a voice of triumph, amen. Praise is so powerful that a number of times God actually had the Israelites send the praise band out to battle first. Imagine if an army invaded the United States and God tells us, send Pastor Luke out there with his guitar. That's what's happening. That's how powerful praise is. God told the Israelites, send the praise band out there first. And the battle was won before the troops even arrived to see what's going on. So when you've heard from God, and when you've obeyed God, and when you feel like you got nothing else left, it's time to shout. Come on, it's time to praise. Hallelujah. When the Israelites finally shouted a shout of praise, the walls came tumbling down. I feel like praise is the red button. I do. I did all the work. I got my seatbelt on, like the instructions say. I got that windshield polished. Come on. I got the gas in the tank. Now I'm going to hit that red button. Boom. Come on. Let's be like Joshua and seek God. Hear God. Obey God. Praise God. Come on. Church, you need a fresh word. Come on. You need a fresh word. You need a fresh word in battle season, and you need a fresh word in victory season. See, sometimes I think we just want a fresh word when there's a problem. You know what? Even if there's no fight to be had, you can get sick eating last week's manna, right? There may have been no armies around Israel at all, but when they start eating that maggot-infested manna, they're still going to get sick. Come on, let's not get sick on last week's manna. Let's stay fresh. Let's stay fired up, amen? You got to stay fresh. So stay fresh in victory season. Don't take victory for granted. And you definitely got to stay fresh in battle season. So when your marriage is on the rocks, what you going to do? March around your husband 7 times until he finally puts down the remote and pays attention? Come on. You're going to march around your wife until she finally transforms into that version of her that you wish she was? No. No, that's not going to happen. You got to go get yourself on holy ground if your marriage is in trouble. God said that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Come on, get yourself on holy ground. Get on that holy ground and get a fresh word from God. God will speak to you about what you can do to heal your marriage. He probably won't speak to you about what you need to tell your spouse to do to heal your marriage. Be like, God, I really wanted you to give me something to tell her. God, I really wanted you to give me something to tell him. But no, 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 no. Now, God's going to give you something you can do to save your marriage, amen. Get on that holy ground and get a fresh word. When Lauren and I heard from God to move to Des Moines. I felt the call of God to move to Des Moines and plant a church when I got off a plane here in 2011. I got off a plane in 2011. I was here for a different reason. And when I got off that plane, I got smacked in the face with a 150-degree turnaround, and it nearly killed me dead in my tracks. And at that same time, the Lord spoke to me. You know what I didn't do? I didn't go load up on Gatorade and start circumnavigating Des Moines 7 times. That's not what I was going to do. I wouldn't have even done that in springtime, let alone winter. Come on. No, I got myself on that holy ground. For me, that was when I got back to Wodonga. Come on, touch your neighbor, say Wodonga what? When I got back to Wodonga, I went to the bush with my tent and I spent some time with God. Lauren and I heard God tell us to move to Des Moines when Warren resigns. And we thought that meant 5 to 7 years later because, man, he always laughed that he was going to get carried out of there in a casket. He'd been there 32 years. We thought 37-ish to 40 years, somewhere in there. But he resigned a week later. And we didn't change what God said because all of a sudden the situation got hard. We didn't change what God said because all of a sudden the situation got difficult. When God told us to move when Warren resigns and he resigned a week later, we knew God set us up. Because if he said to us, hey, start looking now, we'd have been like, that ain't God. Come on. He set us up. God tricked us into agreeing to move here. Because earlier I got on holy ground. Because I went to prayer. Because I heard God speak. My wonderful godly wife, she heard God speak. I had faith. She had faith. And we obeyed him. Come on. And then when 6 hours later, after Warren resigns, a guy rings me up on the phone and says, Jesse, there's a small group of people meeting in a theater without a pastor. It's been 2 years. You should come and plant a church with them instead of doing your own thing. And I said, yes, 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 yes. Let's go do that. By the way, 6 hours ago, Warren resigned. You know, God didn't stop speaking in 2011. He didn't. He's still speaking. And I'm still getting on holy ground to hear the voice of God. Come on. He's still speaking. So we have West. He's still speaking. So we have Central. So we have HQ. So we're starting a college. So we can stay fresh in that Rhema word of God. Come on. When's the last time that you hit pause for a bit and went to hear from God? Some dude's like, man, I really want a wife. Well, marching around her like Jericho is only going to get you a restraining order. You got to get a Rhema word from God. Come on. You got to get a now word from God. Rhema is a now, God still speaking to you, word of God. Amen. If you need help in your marriage, in your health, in your family, with your business, get on that holy ground. And stay fresh with God. Get a fresh word and land that deal. Get a fresh word and stay out of prison this time around. Come on, get a fresh word and stay married this time around. Get a fresh word and take that promotion. Come on. When you get a fresh word, you're going to be unstoppable. When you get a fresh word, you're going to be lockstep in the will of God. How do I stay in the will of God? Get a fresh word. Get a fresh word. When you get a fresh word, the devil's scared. Oh, he's scared of you. Because you're carrying something that came out of the mouth of God. Because every time God spoke, the devil freaked out. Every time God spoke, something powerful happened. Let there be light. Let us make mankind in our image. Every time God speaks, the devil gets hurt. Every time God speaks, the devil loses ground. Every time God speaks, the devil gets scared. So get on that holy ground and get a Rhema word of God in your life, in your situation today and tomorrow and the next day. Amen. So that next time you face a devil in your life, you face him armed with a fresh word from God. Hallelujah. Come on, give me an amen if you receive that, church. Would you stand up with me? Man, I told you we're going off topic, but it's kind of a sub, it's like a subcategory, you know? Still bringing oxygen to your soul, amen? Come on, right? If you're in this room and you don't know God, you need to give him your life today. Across all of our campuses, if you don't know God, you need to give him your life today. right now. Don't leave church. Even if you're online, don't leave without praying a prayer with me, giving your life to Jesus Christ, inviting God to come into your life. He didn't just create you and forget about you. Jeremiah tells us that God knows the plans that He has for us. Plans to prosper us, plans to protect us, plans to bless us, plans to fill our lives with hope and to give us, I love that He says, to give us a future and a hope. There's something in the heart of men and women that need to know there's something else in their future, isn't there? God's plans are to ensure that you have a future that's full of hope. And all you got to do is give your life to God. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. So I want you to pray this prayer with me, which is believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Now, I know a lot of people think that you got to be some perfect, wonderful person to be a Christian and either be that or be a hypocrite, you know, one or the other, right? And I want to tell you, the truth is neither of the two. There's no perfect Christians, and being an imperfect Christian doesn't make you a hypocrite. It makes you somebody who's still growing and becoming all that God has called you to be. Come on. So don't hang your head down in shame. You're good. Come on. I'm just inviting you to start a journey with God as your Savior and as your Lord. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to take away your shame and the pain and the hurt of your past mistakes or the things that have been done to you, and to give you a future full of hope. So everyone in the room is going to pray this prayer. And I especially want those who are away from God or those who have never known Him to pray this prayer with me as well. So everyone in the room, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. And I receive your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with you as my Lord, my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it. Special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen and amen. Come on, praise the Lord in here. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, firstly, that's the best thing you've ever done in your life. You have just begun a journey where God is going to literally take every piece of garbage in your life and every good thing in your life and force all of it to line up with His plans to bless your life. He said that all things work together for the benefit of those who love Him, and you now are one of those people. So all the things are going to line up to bless you. From now on in your life, anytime something happens, good or bad, you can say, thank you, Jesus. That's going to bless me. And that's going to bless me. And that's going to bless me. And that jerk at work is going to bless me. Come on. It's all going to bless me. If you prayed that prayer, three things that I want you to do. Okay, number one, I want you to tell someone what you did. I want you to get on Facebook, get on Instagram. I want you to tell a friend, the person who brought you to church or the person you're watching with online, wherever, however. I want you to tell somebody what you did today and tell them boldly, I'm going to live a blessed life now. Watch it happen. Come on. The second thing I want you to do is text the word SAVE to the number 25827. At eternity, we're obsessed with being generous. It's ridiculous. We just love giving stuff away. Come on. We give away free espressos, t-shirts, give away camp registrations if someone can't afford it. We give everything away, right? And today, we want to give you a gift. We want to give you a Bible, a CD, and a gift card to a local coffee shop. where you can go and read that Bible or go and tell someone what you did here at church today. And so text the word SAVE to the number 25827 and you'll receive that gift in the mail this week. And the last thing I want you to do is to tell me what you did today, or tell Pastor Sean what you did today, so that we can pray for you. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, it's no one but me and Pastor Sean looking around, no one else. So every eye closed, every head is bowed. We're giving people the privacy that they deserve, making the greatest decision of their entire lives. I'm so proud of you, seriously. Right now, I'm excited to see who you are. So I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to get you to lift up your hand because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell anyone. I'm not going to come down. They're going to stay here. But I want to pray a powerful prayer to bless your life. On the count of three, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Awesome. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Is there a second person in here? Just lift up your hand and show me who you are. Hallelujah. Well, come on, let's pray for that person. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now, that by your power, that the chains would be broken off their life, that the past and the hurt and the fear and the shame and the regret, that it would all be broken off in Jesus' name, that, Lord God, it would be replaced with a hope, with joy, with peace. Lord God, with a confident assurance in their heart that they are now in the hands of God and you will bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, praise God for that one person. Hallelujah. Couple things we're going to do now. We're going to keep worshiping. I want you to maintain this atmosphere of faith. Please don't leave the service just yet. Come on, let's just keep a distraction-free worship environment, because some people will want to come down and get prayer. One way you can get a rhema word from God is to come and pray down the front at church with a friend. And we got people in our church just fired up, overflowing, so much faith that they can lend you some of their faith and still have enough left over for the next person, all right? So we got people waiting to pray for you at church. So if you need prayer, I want you to come down the front here to my left and receive prayer. If you're like, I feel dry, come get a fresh touch. If you feel like, I need a healing, come get a healing, come on. If you're like, I need a word from God, then come ask them. Maybe God will give them a word for you, or maybe he'll speak to you when they're praying. But come down the front, stay fresh in Jesus' name, amen.